Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading. Today we're picking up where we've been looking at the Gospel of John here at Resurrection Lutheran Church. And today we're going to look at a segment from John chapter 17, the prayer that is commonly referred to as Jesus's high priestly prayer. Here goes. We'll start with verses 1 through 5. After Jesus had spoken these things, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to all those you have given to him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me at your own side, with the glory I had at your side before the world existed." And we'll pause just there. As Jesus begins this prayer, the impression that you get is that they're still in the upper room, because it isn't until the end of this chapter or the beginning of the next chapter that he talks about, "Come, let us go," and then they leave that upper room, is the impression you get at least. And here, Jesus talks about the glory that he is going to bring to his Father by undergoing this betrayal, this sham of a trial, and this crucifixion. And it really comes at a perfect time of year for us, because here, this coming Sunday, we're going to be focusing on Christ as our King. It's the Sunday that we call Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year before we begin the church year over at Advent. And so on Christ the King Sunday, we usually, for a gospel reading, see John's account of the crucifixion of Jesus when Pilate presents Jesus to the crowd and says, "Here is your King." And this prayer, these words that Jesus has for us here, this prayer really focuses on us on what that kingdom looks like and what is the purpose of that kingdom and what's going on. His purpose is to keep all those that God has chosen for him. And his purpose is to give eternal life to those people. And his purpose is to give God glory by finishing the work that he has been given to do. And so Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, as he prays, he says, "Lord, keep me strong, that I may continue and complete the work that you've given to me, so that you may be glorified." That's the whole point. That's the point of what we do congregationally and individually. That's the reason why you put in a full day's work and an honest day's work as an employee. That's the reason why a mother wakes up in the middle of the night and cares for a little baby who needs her for everything. That's the reason why we watch out for one another, why we visit the elderly who can't get out, and why we comfort one another at a time of mourning or funeral. To give God glory, to point people to Jesus and say, there is your reassurance and your salvation, not here in what you've done, and your reward is there. Your reward is knowing that God is glorified, that he has become greater and I have become less, and that he has promised that he sees everything that we do and that he will continue to take pleasure in those things. That God takes pleasure in the mundane elements of your everyday life, that you and I, as we go about our day, we might forget about them. We might not think that they're such a big deal, but our Lord sees that, and he sees the motive of your heart, and he says, "This is a wonderful thing done for me, done through my Son." And so at the end of his prayer, at the end of this chapter, Jesus says, you know, he prays for you too. He says, beginning in verse 20, "I am praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they become completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me." And in these words, Jesus really talks about the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the reality that that you are perfectly united with every other Christian of every other time and every other place. We talked about that in our sermon this past Sunday, so listen to yesterday's podcast episode for a little bit more about that, the idea that there's one church that is perfectly united in faith. And what he isn't saying, you know, he wants this true unity, and the basis for that unity, and the example of that unity is the unity within the Trinity. That God, even though he is three persons, he is one God. And verse 21, Father, you are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And that last phrase of verse 21, so that the world may believe that you sent me, could be taken one of two ways. First of all, this idea that unity within a Christian church is more compelling to an outsider, to somebody who isn't a member of the Christian church. They see that these people are united around the one God. And then the other way that it's often understood is talking about the believers working together to give glory to God and to point to this true God, that these believers who are united in faith demonstrate that unity by reaching out in love. And what he is not advocating here, and this is probably one of the more understood parts, he's not advocating for or praying for some sort of a sham of unity, you know, putting on some show of unity without actually being united. That isn't unity. That's not the unity that we see within the Trinity. The unity that we see in the Trinity is this complete unity. And there's no hiding. There's no disagreements. There's unity that is based entirely and built upon the unified will of God and the unified revelation of himself. And so the unity that God desires is a unity that is based on the full word of God, based on the entire scripture, and is in line with the person and work of our God. Basically a second commandment thing. You know, second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. When you talk about God's name, we mean also his reputation, all that we know about him, all that he does, all that he is. That's his name. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not use his name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, or use it superstitiously, but call upon God's name in all trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. When we say we do not use God's name to curse, swear, or lie, calling upon God as our witness and using God's reputation to bolster our falsehood, but then we should not use God's name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, that is also a lot broader. The sort of deception of using God's word or God's name and saying, you know, here's what God has said, but that's not really what God has said. One of the verses that really jumps out for me, partly because that is an easy one to remember, is Jeremiah 14:14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14 reads like this: Then the Lord said to me, "Those prophets are prophesying lies in my name, but I did not send them. I did not command them. I did not speak to them. They are prophesying a false vision to you and providing worthless omens." Something from their own imagination. Jeremiah 14:14, you know, kind of reminds us that when we talk about deception and using God's name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, the greatest deception of all is when God's name is spoken about improperly, or when Christians teach something that is not in line with the Word of God, when they share something that is false or untrue, or when Christian churches try to assert something that is not in the Bible and not biblical. And that's using God's name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive. And so his prayer is that we may use God's name properly, that we may uphold God's reputation, and that we may encourage one another by being truthful about this God, so that he who wants to save people, and that's the work that Jesus came to do, he wants to save people but the result is that he is glorified as he does his work. And as we are faithful with using and upholding his reputation, we also provide opportunity for God to do his work, so that the result is his name is glorified. You can find us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. And if you live outside of driving distance of the Toledo area, or even if you do live in the Toledo area here, be sure to check out that link, that first link in the show notes, yearbook.wells.net, and you can find a church nearby. And if you'd like some guidance on that, just my contact information is in the show notes as well. You can contact me, Pastor Hagen. And finally, if you are in the area this coming Friday, we have our hashtag Red Friday Blood Drive. Stop on in, and we've got appointments available. Most of the daytime ones are taken up, but there's a lot more available between 4 and 6 p.m. You can contact me if you have any other questions about that. God bless your day.